are now starting our public session, so welcome to everybody and everybody who is listening in. I want to say a special welcome to Doug French, who I think was unable to attend the last meeting, but this is his first meeting, so a big welcome
to
Doug.
Much.
And I also want to take the opportunity to say a big thank to Frank Palmer. This may or may not be his last meeting, but just in case it is, I thought a big thank you to Frank for all his time and service to this group. I can now introduce myself to do the first session, which is the IFB update. I'm chairing, by the way, this is Hugh Shields, if you're listening in. I'm chairing on behalf of Martin Adelman, who is unable to attend today. So we're going to have a brief session on the ISB update and a little bit of time. I'll pass to Henry at a certain point to say a few comments more on the implementation and maintenance side. The first thing I wanted to just highlight, because since we last met, we've done a number of important things, but one important thing we did was publish our agenda consultation. And I expect you've all read it, but I just briefly to recap on the main. There were four main messages in the document. The first one is completion of the remaining standard setting projects. At the time we were consulting, leases were still an outstanding project. Obviously, we published the leases standard. And as you know, we are still working on insurance contracts and also on the conceptual framework, on which I'll give you a little bit of an update in a few moments. The second big message was our big theme for the current agenda cycle. And that big theme we're framing as the better communication in financial reporting. I'll say a bit more about the projects that underlie that, but you can expect to hear more about that theme in the current agenda cycle. By the way, one point just to make while I remember, and I use that term current agenda cycle, we have, as part of this consultation, extended the agenda cycle from 3 years to 5 years, recognising that the agenda consultation process itself uses a lot of resource and to some extent gets away from the day job. Also, it's important to acknowledge, though, and I think this is the key thing, is that the board can modify its agenda at any time. And so if big issues come up or the board is made aware of issues which require priority attention, the board can absolutely put those onto the agenda and reprioritize other projects as it sees fit. So it doesn't mean that we are absolutely locked in with the results of the agenda consultation as they stand. So that's the second message. The third message is around continued development of implementation support. And so this is the area that Henry leads. And so Henry will say a few words about particular things in a moment. We also have a session on education, as you know, later today. And then the final message is really around the need for a more focused research programme. If you looked at our research programme a few months ago, before we had updated it for the results of this consultation, you would have seen something like 15 projects on there. And a lot of constituents told us it's too much, it's not enough focus, it means you spread yourselves too thinly, and it makes it more difficult to deliver. So actually now we have just six active projects on the research agenda. It's dramatically streamed down. Those six projects are primary financial statements, the disclosure initiative. We have two financial instrument related projects, so accounting for dynamic risk management, or our macro hedge accounting project, and also our project on the distinction between debt and equity, the financial instruments with characteristics of equity project. And then we have two other projects, one on goodwill and impairment, and the other on business combinations under common control. The goodwill project is a follow-up, as you probably recall, from our post-implementation of IFRS 3. And then the business combinations under common control was a project on which we received a lot of feedback as part of the agenda consultation. And there is remains a lot of appetite for us to give more principled guidance on how to account for those combinations. Just let me go back to primary financial statements and disclosure and this theme of better communication and a bit of an update as to where we are on those projects. The primary financial statements project, if you heard what the board discussed earlier this month, it was a bit of an education session in terms of the scoping work that the staff and certain board members have been undertaking. The board will actually make some decisions about the direction of the project in the December board meeting. And I think what is fair to say is that the focus, and it's not an exclusive focus, but the focus is going to be around bringing more structure to the income statement, the statement of performance. And I think that's certainly going to be the initial focus. I think one of the challenges with primary financial statements is that there is a risk that you can put virtually every financial reporting problem you can think of into this project, and it becomes, we've got to a little bit break this project up into bite-sized chunks. So I think there's going to be a focus on the income statement. It doesn't mean we won't be looking at the statement of financial position. It doesn't mean we won't be looking at the cash flow statement. That's where a lot of the focus will be. And in terms of some of the things that the board will be deciding on next month, it's things like, should we try to mandate more subtotals in the income statement? Should we try to develop a principle-based notion of what operating profit might mean? And I think the other topic, which you'll have certainly heard Hans talking about a lot, and which actually is going to feature in the principles of disclosure discussion paper, but will also, I think, at a certain point, migrate into the primary financial statements project, you're going to be hearing more about alternative performance measures, non-GAAP measures, which is also a big piece of feedback from our gender consultation. Basically, the recognition that many, many companies are using these alternative measures, and some questioning whether this means that the IFRS, are there challenges to the relevance of IFRS to the extent that we don't touch that topic. So we are going to be working more on that topic, and you'll hear about it in the Principles of Disclosure paper, certainly. As I say, if you've listened to any of Hans's recent speeches, you'll have seen him talking about alternative performance measures there. So that's primary financial statements. It'll be a recurring theme for the next, for the current agenda cycle. The disclosure initiative is also in there, and by the way, I think there's a little bit of the rationale here why we're focusing on this theme. We've just gone through a phase, or we're nearly about to complete a phase. We've gone through a phase of big standards coming out, so revenue, financial instruments, leases, insurance contracts will be published next year. Our current target is March of next year. So big transaction type projects, if you like, but which require huge amounts of resource and project spend by you as preparers. And we did get a lot of feedback saying that we need now some kind of stable period, a little bit of period of not complete calm, but some stability, so that so the preparers have an opportunity to bed down these big projects. So the idea of the working on primary financial statements and disclosure is a little bit, if you like, from a preparer point of view, it's what happens at the end of the sausage machine, if I can call it that. It's things that you do when you're doing pulling your final reports together. We hope, and a little bit the theory is, they don't require enormous system spend to implement, but I guess we can't completely anticipate what's going to come out of the project, but that's the theory. Just to continue on disclosure, tell you a little bit about where we are on the disclosure initiative. The Principles of Disclosure discussion paper is likely to be published now in Q2 of next year. We have, in order to focus the board on insurance contracts, we've deferred the publication of the Principles of Disclosure paper. It's just so the board can focus on all the different documents related to completion of the insurance contracts project, which is a lot, and as you know, it's a complex standard. So we've really sought to prioritise the board's time on the insurance contract project, which has also had a consequence and a knock-on effect for the Principles of Disclosure paper. Also in the disclosure initiative, we have the materiality project, which I know you're aware of. The board has nearly completed its discussions of the materiality practice statement, I should call it. The board is likely to give the go-ahead in December board meeting for the staff to complete the drafting of the practice statement, and the board made a number of decisions in the November board meeting. Quite a number of papers actually went through in November. One of the decisions though made, just to mention, is that it will be published as a non-mandatory practice statement, so that was one of the board's conclusions there. The other thing, just before I say a few words about some of the other projects and pass on to Henry, and which I don't want to miss out on, is we are, and the board is, focusing much more on the IFRS taxonomy. To an extent, an outcome of the structure and effectiveness review, which was a parallel consultation that was done by the trustees this year, there is a recognition that the board needs to very clearly own that taxonomy and approve updates to it. And I think also there is a recognition, however, that strategically we need to take the taxonomy to a better place. Use of the taxonomy is patchy, it's a little bit varied around the world. However, we have two big things which are going on. There's a consultation being done by ESMA currently, reflecting the fact that one of the European directives requires the use of a single electronic format in 2020. And at the moment, ESMA is recommending the use of the IFRS taxonomy. So we need to make sure that we're in a good place and that the taxonomy is fully fit for purpose for when all of that happens. We are also hearing that the SEC is getting close to enabling foreign filers to file using our taxonomy. So that work is all there and is causing a little bit more focus. I think one other thing I would say, though, and this was a conclusion from the trustees' review that I just mentioned, it's difficult for the ISB to take the taxonomy to a better place completely on its own. We do need to some extent, team up with regulators around the world because different regulators have different filing rules, different jurisdictions are, in some cases, using different versions of our taxonomy. So we can't completely do this on our own. So they're one player that we have to work with. And then the other, I think, set of players we have to work with are the data aggregators. And we need to figure out how we best fit into the world of data aggregators who are already providing a lot of electronic information. So there's some, I think, some quite significant challenges as to how we take the taxonomy to a better place. Just briefly on some of the other projects, just on our financial instruments projects, I think we're going in a very good direction on our FICE project, the debt equity project. The board's made a lot of progress on that in recent months, and we expect to publish a discussion paper at some point next year. And then I think our project on macro hedge accounting, or what we also call accounting for dynamic risk management, remains a challenging project. We have been observing some of the work that's been done by EFRAG in terms of how interest rate risk management works at banks, and the board will now need to make some decisions. I think it is likely that the focus will remain on interest rate risk management, although that is not the sole province of this project. At a certain point it will pick up other risks, but I think just for the moment the focus is going to be on interest rate risk management. I touched on business combinations under common control. And it is an active project. What the particular staff involved are also involved in the conceptual framework, so we've been a little bit that's been a little bit on the back burner in these recent months, but we'll be picking that one up firmly next year. And then the only other thing to say, I think goodwill and impairment, which is the sixth active research project, continuing to focus on ways in which we can improve the impairment test. Now, there are constituents out there who would also like us to still be thinking about amortization. I don't think that's where the board is going to land, but I think where the focus is going to continue is on trying to find ways in which the impairment test can be improved. A couple of other things to say. The board has had to make a lot of very difficult prioritisation decisions. There are you know, if you look at all the feedback we got on the agenda consultation, many different topics, many things that constituents would like us to have done, and the board has made this decision to stay really focused for the time being. However, what it has done is create something called the Pipeline Research Programme. And if you've read our, well, even if you haven't, I shall tell you briefly what's in the research pipeline. The board created this research pipeline, which is, what that is projects which the board intends to come to at a certain point in this agenda cycle, so that's in the next 5 years. We're not currently actively working on them, but they're if you like, they're flagged for future reference, and they will be coming up. So those projects, I'll just quickly reel them off, are the equity method, extractive activities, pollutant pricing mechanisms, which includes our work on emissions trading, our project on provisions, project on variable and contingent consideration. And then three, what we have classed, or what the board has classed as feasibility studies, which are a feasibility study on high inflation, which is going to look at whether we can take IS29, which as you recall is about hyperinflation, can we take IS29 and make some relatively small amendments to 29 in order to bring into scope high inflation economies? Of course, the big question is, what would high inflation be? But anyway, that's going to be a feasibility study. We're going to do a feasibility study also on something which is, we're calling pension benefits that depend on asset returns, where you can get a mismatch in certain pension schemes. And then finally, we're going to do a feasibility study on what we're calling SMEs that are subsidiaries. So it's particularly referring to where a company is a subsidiary of a listed company and is for group purposes having to do full IFRS, and we're looking at situations where that company would qualify as an SME, but because the holding company is on full IFRS is having to do the full IFRS disclosure requirements. And what we're going to look to see is, can we introduce for those subsidiaries a lighter disclosure regime which is more in line with what you would expect for an SME. Of course, because SME is not the same recognition and measurement requirements as full IFRS, that doesn't completely mesh, but you get the idea. We're trying to find a lighter disclosure regime for such companies. Izzah is passing messages saying I shouldn't speak too much longer because we're going to run out of time. I might just pass to Henry to say a few words about implementation and maintenance activities.
Thanks, Hugh. I just wanted to pick up on just a few points from recent interpretation committee meetings and also for the main discussion. I'm joined here by Javed. Tina wasn't able to join us today, so Javed's a key member of the interpretations team and actually will be talking to you later about definition of a business exposure draft. So first, the interpretations committee that's met recently in September and November. I suppose some of the key highlights from that meetings are that we made very good progress on two of the bigger projects we have on the go. First of all, the narrow scope amendments to the pension accounting, so that was to IAS 19 and to IFRIC 14, and also to the interpretation on IAS 12 dealing with uncertain tax positions. The deliberations that the IFRIC highlighted really that weren't really going to make any significant changes to both of those exposure drafts, and there was actually a lot of support for the IFRIC on the draft IFRIC, sorry, on certain tax positions. So the final interpretation on uncertain tax positions just needs to be ratified by the board, but assuming it is ratified by the board, then we'll expect it to be issued in quarter two of next year. The pension amendments, because they're amendments to standard, the board are going to now sort of pick up the recommendations from the interpretations committee meeting, and that actually is going to be discussed at the December board meeting. So again, we should see that coming through early next year. Just a few points of other maintenance projects that the board has been looking at. A couple of ones really, and these are ones that I think have both previously been considered, you know, we've had input from this group in the past. So first of all is the board has decided to propose amendments to IS 16, to prohibit deduction of proceeds, sale proceeds, from items of property, plant and equipment before they're ready for use. So we're proposing a narrow scope amendment to IS 16 there. And secondly, the board proposes what would be an annual improvement on IS 28 regarding long-term interest. So these are these interests that are interest in the net investment in an associate or joint venture, but to which the equity method doesn't get applied. And the amendment is really all about just clarifying the interaction between the accounting in IS 28 and IFRS 9 for these. And that will, as I said, will be an annual improvement, and it'll form part of the next annual improvement exposure draft package. So it'll join two other narrow scope amendments, one on IS 12 on the tax treatment arising from dividends, and one on IS 23 on borrowing costs, clarification on borrowing costs. And that exposure draft we would expect to publish early January next year. And then the last thing I just wanted to highlight was is we do have a package of final minor amendments, changes to IFRS coming out in early December, could be actually next week, but anyway, early December. And there's three things in that package. First of all, there's the annual improvements package, which includes some narrow amendment to IS 28 about fair value profit and loss investments, a clarification to IFRS 12 about the interaction or the applicability of disclosure requirements in IFRS 12 for held for sale interests, and some minor tidy up in IFRS 1, just getting rid of some, removing some paragraphs that are no longer effectively, they cease to be any relevance because time has passed, so we just, it's a tidy up exercise. There will be an interpretation, IFRIC 22, and that will be on the foreign currency transactions and advance consideration. So that's probably one that you probably saw the exposure draft for, just clarifies the date of the transaction when you've received advance consideration. And then lastly, there will be a minor amendment to IS 40 on investment property to clarify the treatment of transfers to or from investment property. So as I said, that's three things, and they're coming out as they're separate documents, but effectively it's a package we're putting together for publication probably next week.
Very good. Thank you, Henry. I think we have just a few minutes if anyone has any questions. Either myself or Henry. Yes.
How do you make use of the deliberations of GPF, and how do you think GPF can add more value?
As you probably gathered, we do a formal report which looks at the feedback you've gathered, and it is an input. I mean, there are many inputs to things like the agenda consultation or our projects, but all our constituents' input is considered in each of our projects, and if you track through our board papers, you will see how particular items of input are treated. And I think, if you ask the question, how could you do more? I think, you know, keep writing to us, keep giving us comments on all our exposure drafts and discussion papers, because we, you know, they are read. We do very conscientiously go through every letter that we get. You know, I think to the extent that you have a view which is common among you, that's more common.
Hugh, just following on from the agenda work plan, and again, it's more a world environment. So we've seen over the last year, and it looks like we're going to see over the next 6 months, the world's sort of getting very disruptive, and things are changing. Given that there's an increasing use of integrated reporting, which doesn't require any financial reporting, and an increasing use of non-GAAP measures, where within the agenda consultation and the board strategy are they considering the relevance of IFRS, given that people are concentrating on other areas now to make their investment decisions and investment processes?
Yeah, so this question was considered directly as part of the trustees review that I mentioned, a little bit in the agenda consultation, but I'd say more in the trustees review of structure and effectiveness. And there was in the trustees review an explicit consideration of this broader world of corporate reporting, including integrated reporting, but other things as well. The trustees review recommended, and this is what have we done, it said to put some modest staff resources to this broader world of corporate reporting. So we actually do now have a member of staff who's working 2 days a week, specifically looking at this broader world of corporate reporting and how we should respond to it. And I think, for example, we are paying attention to the fact that there is a climate-related disclosures task force about to publish a consultation document. We will have to see what's in that to see whether we respond. On integrated reporting generally, and I mean, Gary might want to say a few words, because I know Gary's probably the one board member who's done more than anything else, and more than anyone else, on integrated reporting. But we do have a memorandum of understanding with the International Integrated Reporting Council, and we participate in something called the Corporate Reporting Dialogue, which is a group of standard setters. The FASB is there, but you've also got people like the Climate Disclosure Standard Board and others who are wearing this broader corporate reporting hat. Hans himself sits on the IIRC Council. So we are plugged in, and I think this topic actually has also come up more than once at our advisory council, which is there to give us strategic advice. And at the advisory council, if I had to summarize it in a phrase, and this phrase was used, I remember, in one meeting, that we should be at the table but not leading the charge at this point. So we're very much charged with monitoring developments in this area to make sure that we don't get left behind or that we do the right thing. I think in terms of alternative performance measures, which you also mentioned, we very much are walking towards that topic. We'll be doing that as part of the principles of disclosure project or discussion paper that I mentioned. I think also it will, at a certain point, it will migrate and become part of the primary financial statements project. So I think to try to summarise, we recognise the importance of both those topics, and I think what the board's trying to do is find the right balanced approach to them.
But does it mean that you're, as a preparer, give me a perception that the ISB is moving more towards fulfilling regulators' needs rather than what the current definition of the primary user being the investor? Because the institutional investors already doing other things. They're not looking at the financials.
I don't think it gives that message, or I hope it doesn't give that message particularly. I think, as you say, we're very much focused on the users. I think it's just really recognising feedback that we hear that these particular two topics you mentioned are continuing to grow in importance. I think, as it happens, integrated reporting in most jurisdictions doesn't have a regulatory support. It doesn't one or two, well, it doesn't yours.
Yeah.
not in most others.
In our case, it's our primary means of reporting.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a different status in South Africa. That's okay.
Maybe just one quick one. On the topic of, let me call it standardizing items in the income statement a bit more, have you already collected input from preparers? And if so, what direction did that input go? Are preparers rather?
I would be honest and say that we are aware of some preparer views, and for example, we're aware of some preparers' views. I would say that the most of the emphasis has so far been on users in terms of scoping the project. And so I think most of the opportunity for input is probably going to come at the discussion paper stage. But I would say it's more the user side that we've got the the input.
Because I think, I mean, there's a close link between that and the alternative performance measures.
Yeah.
The more you standardize a P&L, the more current things become non-IFRS measures.
Yeah.
So
that's a fair point. Yeah.
Viewed in context.
Yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, I think it couldn't harm to collect input from preparers before the discussion paper is.
Well, I'm sure we will be talking, have a further session with this group before we publish anything.
And then following on from, I said, from your the papers that were presented, the scope, when, I'm using wrong words, so forgive me, so when work is outsourced to national standard setters, so if I'm looking at the FRCs doing something on cash flow, is there a strict rule that the whatever work they come up with might develop only into a DP first? Because if we've got a national standard setter like the FRSC doing detailed work on cash flows, those of us that have no exposure to it, have not input into it, for that to develop through board paper straight into an exposure draft would seem to be disingenuous.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that particular example is a slightly unusual one in the sense what it is an FRC staff paper, which for different reasons has had different opportunities to be aired at different forums, but it's not something this board has as such particularly endorsed. I mean, the FRC has not endorsed it. It's a staff paper. We drew attention to it when it was published on the website as a kind of a project update, if you like, because it is one of the topics in the primary financial statements project. So that's just a bit of context. I think the second thing to say is, though, yes, there would in this case, it would almost certainly be a discussion paper stage. Difficult to see that going straight to an EB. Okay.